Thought it'd be good to come down here and just talk to you a little bit, because we got a lot going on in our world. Sometimes this format is good for that. So, just got back from our annual diocesan convention, the theme of which was, and this is still sort of a theme for us in our diocese, walk in love. We heard wonderful stories of people's lives around the diocese and our diocese abroad in other countries and our connections with people worldwide of how we're walking in love and being the people of God. We heard from our bishops who are so strong in their determination to stand for justice in our world. Bishop Shannon saying that he would stand with the marginalized to the point of being arrested if need be. It was wonderful. There was one thing that happened at convention that didn't get a lot of time because there just wasn't at the end. We admitted two new churches that had been missions into full church status. And this is a thing of great joy when a church has been sometimes struggling, sometimes just kind of making their way and coming into their own. One of the parishes now admitted St. Paul's, I used to say Nomini Grove, but a lot of people said Nomini Grove, St. Paul's. I talked to their now rector, Chris Agnew, the night before, and he told me the whole story. And I won't tell you the whole story, but it started in 1861 when a woman, Mrs. Hunt, decided that she needed to offer education to all the children of the area. So she went around and gathered up both black and white children, and she was white, so she got the black and the white children together and took them to her home and taught them to read. That is how that church started. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an incredible story that they walked in love in that way from the beginning? Chris told me that they've always had some racial diversity because of that, and they've continued to be that way throughout their history. This small mission church, never having accepted any money from the diocese the whole time, which is interesting, always being self-sufficient. It's those sorts of beginnings and those sorts of ways of being that enable us, I think, to connect with God, that enables us to be for the world, for others, in a very important way. So I came back from annual convention kind of late in the afternoon yesterday to the news of the world. The news of the world. I'm going through something here. And that is the fact that I cannot write a sermon until about 11 o'clock on Saturday because of these major things that go on now almost daily in our world that I feel the gospel is addressing and that I and we as a group, a community, need to address. So I'm watching the developments last night of the what resulted from the presidential executive order to stop all refugees from coming into the country for a period of time, but also limiting access to the United States. As you may know, people of certain countries, which happen to be majority Muslim countries. One of the hymns we sang, and also, well, the hymns, all the hymns we're singing today, and Paul's words from Corinthians, I chose the weak, what is seen as weak in the world, to shame the strong, to shame the wise. I could not believe how ashamed I felt of our country last night watching those scenes of people just like you and me, our neighbors, our friends, our family, people who were crying at the airports while their elderly diabetic relative was being held for hours, being detained, when some of these people, and I don't know who is who exactly in all the specifics, but some of these people were legal residents, are legal residents with green cards to be in this country. It was very hard to watch. Again, I see God whenever people gather and say, hey, this isn't just, this isn't right. And you may know, if this is the first you're hearing of this, because all this developed pretty quickly, there is a stay of that executive order, and these people, at least at this point, are not being deported. Some of them are still in airports, I think, trying to get to their families who love them and miss them and care for them. This is us, you know? I mean, unless you're 100% Native American, every one of us or our ancestors went through this process, every single one of us. So to connect with that humanity, what can we say? What can we say about this? What does the prophet Micah say about this? How amazing that we have the readings we have for today. Micah was speaking to a situation where it wasn't going well, where the people weren't doing such a great job being God's people. And the question was, what does God require? And there's the thought, does God require more rams? Does God require, in our case, we might say more money? Does God require that? And Micah said, no. God requires that we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Doing justice refers to the fact that God is about transformative justice. This is who God is. And this justice is about creating communities in which all people are valued, always having to weigh, you know, the individual, the whole, but still doing justice, loving kindness. God's loving kindness, this is such a great feature of God's character, the chassid of God. It's both love for others and also an ethical sense of what's right. And walking humbly with God. So having this openness to what God desires for our world, but also being aware we're walking with God. Walking with God. Micah said that doing or giving, say, rams was not the answer, but rather to live this transformed life. Some have said that Micah's words are actually enfleshed by Jesus, that he is the enfleshment of that. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Transformative. At annual convention, Bishop Gulick said something I found very interesting. He said that membership, we're all, those of us who are members, right? We're all here today, members of this church. Membership is transformation to discipleship as the bread and wine are transformed into the body and blood of Christ. That we are being transformed into who God is making us to be, helping us to be, into disciples. And discipleship, I'm trying to keep this sermon a little short, it's not working. real quick, just a shorthand, discipleship being maybe one a bit more committed, or much more committed than just being here, than just showing up, just being a member. Membership's great, but we're all always growing in our becoming of disciples. So as I thought about that, I thought, well, how does the bread and the wine become the body and blood? Well, through prayer and the Spirit. So it's the same for us. How do we become more and more disciples for God and our world? Through prayer and the Spirit of God in us and helping us and leading us. The Spirit of God. The Beatitudes mean blessing, and they are the blessings for the disciples of God. We need to hear those not as imperatives, as something you must do, but as indicative, something that has already happened or already is. And I want to look at two of them for today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Some commentators, scholars say that in the context in which Matthew wrote, this is a mourning not so much for an individual who has died, but mourning for the state of the world that does not reflect God's plan or God's will for the world. So last night, I was mourning for our world. There are times when we look around Richmond and we mourn for what we see. That kind of mourning, that sort of grief, it's real. This is the thing about religion and God. I just want a little segue there. Okay, it's real. This is about real stuff. Your friends in our communities who are dealing with what's happening in our world and they're a little at sea, let them know they can find a community here where we can work through all this together with God. We're about real things. So that beatitude is about very real things. Blessed are those who mourn, but then we hear, for they will be comforted. They will be comforted. We comfort each other. We are comforted when we make even small strides toward justice, when we see it. And ultimately, these beatitudes are eschatological. They're about the completion of God's work in the world. All will be comforted. To hold that in our hearts through faith. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And as I consider that beatitude in our context, peacemaking is about so many things. It can be about lots of different things. When there is division and pain and hurt within ourselves, within our city, within our country or world, we are peacemakers when we do even the smallest thing to help that, to make it be a little better, to pray about it, to walk and march as hundreds, maybe thousands last night did around the country, just like that. We're living in a different world. It's such a different world. That happened because of social media. We are living in a different world, which gives us some tools and some abilities to do things. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Today we're having our annual parish meeting. As you hear things discussed at the meeting and later when you have time to read our booklet that we've produced for this meeting, consider our ministries. Consider how you and we as a community are peacemakers for God. There's so many ways we do it. In fact, I would say every single ministry we do is about making peace. Making peace, bringing people together, reconciliation, speaking of hope, giving people peace in their hearts. This is who we are, as we are continually being transformed more and more to be the people of God, disciples in this world. Amen.